Welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank Podcast. Alan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Would you like to introduce yourself to everyone out there listening?
Sure. My name's Alan Lash. I consider myself sort of an ordinary citizen. I just started writing for Brownstone this year. I had never written articles before. I'm a software developer. I've done that for 30 years. I have a family, three young adult children. And I just got so disturbed in the last few years by what I had seen happening with society and our government and also medical institutions, most institutions, actually academic institutions. And I just felt like something was very, very wrong. And so, I started writing about the things that I saw happening.
I want to ask what was kind of like, I mean, before the pandemic started, I mean, what was your process through the pandemic? Like, did you get your shot? What was the first red flag for you? But also, like, are you surprised how interconnected all these things are? Like media, government, health institutions, all these things. Like, I think the narrative's kind of turning now where I'm having a lot of people start asking, certain things like, did you hear about this? And did you hear about this? Like, oh, in the beginning, you were yelling at people with rabies anger if they didn't get their shot. And now you're questioning it too. So it's just interesting to see that there is information that is still trickling out, whether it's from independent sources or other things. But at least people are now starting to be like, what is going on? Which we didn't do in the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. So to give you just the history, my feelings, I think in one of my articles, I said I was all on board, after the 9/11 attacks, at the beginning, I was like, holy shit, what's going on? We're being attacked. And, Department of Homeland Security seemed like a great thing. And then, within a few years, you're like, what the hell's going on here? They're starting to spy on American citizens. And, this doesn't seem like, something's right. And also in that time period, so this would be like late 2000s, in the 2010 to 2015, I started reading about all of these pharmaceutical, companies that had these drugs where there's, massive amounts of injury and death. And so having these things kind of in the back of my mind, but like, I just said, I'm sort of an ordinary citizen, I don't have any, kind of authority in any institution or anything like that. I got my own little software business. When March 2020 hit, more or less right away, I was skeptical. As soon as the government said, 15 days to flatten the curve, I had two immediate thoughts. One was, this is not looking good. I had one friend that I got much closer to in that time where he felt the same way. We were talking about it and said, hell no, they're not going to just go 15 days. And I think I just read, it was May 11th, right, that they finally released this emergency warning, which was what, 1100 days after the original 15 days to flatten the curve. I found pretty quickly a lot of people who were speaking about it, Alex Berenson, Scott Atlas, Dr. Malone. I know you interviewed him. Peter McCullough, and then especially Jeffrey Tucker, who was writing about it and speaking about it from the get-go. And he, he was with at the time the American Institute of Economic Research. He was the editor of that. They call it a think tank, I guess, economics. And I started reading his articles there. And he was so upset, by it. Within a year, he founded the Brownstone Institute. He just said, this is wrong. Something's happening with our fundamental liberties, which, aside from all of those other things that were going on with these, our medical institutions and pharmaceutical companies and the government that, I was already getting suspicious of. This was just taking it to a brand new level, right?
It went from capitalism to like grasp for power. And I know I heard that for so long from so many people who are out speaking about the pandemic, and I never really fully got there until I started seeing how there was like, I mean, when lockdowns first happened, 2 weeks, that's what they were telling us, like 2 weeks flatten the curve, that type of deal. And it seemed like, I wasn't about being locked down in my house. I was like, this is a starting point. This is how it always starts going a little bit farther. I mean, it's in our constitution. We have human rights to be able to leave our house and everything of this sort. But then they were tossing out $5,000 fines. And that's when I really got scared. I was like, wait, so what? And then you start seeing non-essential and then essential workers, and they start dividing people a little bit. And I'm just wondering, how do we get to a situation where we're in now? But those lockdowns, that's a starting point. I mean, that grasp for power, and then people got fed up, which that shows more power in people. But trying to get us to unite on stuff is so difficult. That's why there's, you know, like, I'm glad for the Brownstone Institute that was able to really gather up a whole massive amount of people and show different articles and different opinions, where it's not just one person shouting it from a rooftop.
Right. Yeah. I mean, with Brownstone in particular, you know, the people, the writers, you know, we have weekly meetings where we have good discussions, and a lot of those folks. And there's also, you know, we also share ideas, you know, through this group, you know, Google group. And one of the most remarkable things to me is I would have just assumed from the get-go that a lot of these folks would have come from a history of like, you know, libertarianism, right? You know, that they, you know, kind of believe in freedom, skeptical government. That's kind of like the direction that I came at it from. And they're not. A lot of them, most of them, you know, are what you would think are like the traditional left. You know, they're like, what in the hell is happening where, you know, all of these institutions, which a lot of them, you know, felt they trusted and were built up, you know, by folks just like them, you know, suddenly went very wrong.
Do you think that like a lot of people's reaction, like how people, either if they're double vax or if they're boosted, a lot of that came from like the lockdown situation? I feel like if you were in lockdown for that 2 weeks or however long we were in lockdown for, if you were really honing in on the TV and watching it every single day and seeing all the fear scaring that was really going on in the media, like the person I mentioned to you off air that I had the conversation with, he was in lockdown for a year and a half. He flew his family over from like California over to Maryland, and would not go outside, got all his groceries delivered. And I didn't understand his experience, which was mine was completely different. I never paid attention to the media. I was kind of like, man, I'm going to walk outside. I have a human and that, but I started to notice that's where some people who are still doubling down on things and still going forward, they might've spent a little bit too much time watching TV during lockdown and listening to the media reporting on that stuff.
I think everybody spends too much time watching TV, no matter how little it is. Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, reading a lot of these people that I just described. And so, you know, I had a different perspective. But even when I watched TV, you know, the panic that they were trying to give you and they like the numbers, they would tell you the numbers. And I'm like, you know, those numbers don't scare me. You know what? You know, there's a lot of people with, you know, who are older with comorbidities who are dying. But, you know, and then just the lies that the media, you know, put out there. You know, with these freezer trucks that they were loading bodies in, you know, they started showing us pictures like that, which was just a lie. It was like these pictures, these freezer trucks were not even from, you know, the pandemic. And you don't remember that?
I must have missed that one.
Yeah, they said the bodies were piling up in New York so that they had these freezer trucks that they had to come, you know, cart the bodies away in and stuff. And I'm just like, this is absolutely insane. But you know, you were talking about personal stories a minute ago and this person that you were just discussing it with. So for me, I was skeptical from the very beginning, right? And immediately when they said that they're on this race to produce a vaccine, I said, hey, wait a minute, you know, it takes a while to produce those things. You know, I've known that for a long time. And so during that summer, this was 2020 before the vaccine came out. I was in a little band, you know, I was in a little rock band at the time. And, you know, we started getting shut down. And my daughter, she was a really good soccer player at the time. She was a junior in high school. And, you know, she was looking at going to play in college. Right. And they shut soccer down. And so like, I started like, this is absolutely insane. You know, it's like, this is, you know, if anything is going to help her in her life, you know, it's going to be, you know, playing, you know, getting out, getting exercise, you know, this physical exercise. And so I started by writing letters to the public health department, say, you know, what the hell are you doing? We're outside playing music, you know, you're shutting us down. You know, my daughter's outside playing soccer. And he completely ignored the letters, you know. And so I wrote, you know, successively angrier letters, and other parents were writing them, and they just ignored it. And I said, and in fact, one of the letters I wrote, You are a public servant and you're not responding to the public. You know, it's just, it was insane. So that got me really disturbed.
Wait, can I ask, did you feel like they were actually like getting your letter and reading it, or do you feel like it was just going in a pile that they ended up just flicking a Bic lighter and lighting it?
I have no idea, because I got no response whatsoever. I mean, not even from like an aide or an assistant or anything like that. And then, you know, even within, I mentioned the band just because, you know, we were disallowed from playing. And so, you know, I was in charge of the sort of the marketing at the time, you know, and I had this group that I, you know, we had like 100 people on our, you know, that would come, you know, it might come and watch our gigs. And they were, you know, I sent them an email blast. And so I was commenting on, you know, how ridiculous this was. And, you know, and I compared in one of the emails, you know, just the public health department to the Gestapo, right? And, you know, because they were trying to shut down businesses, you know, for having these live events, and or they were shutting them down. And I got a really, really angry response from one of our fans who was a or is an ER doctor. And the words that he used was, he said, "You are endangering my family." And I said, "My God, you're an ER doctor. You go in and face this every day. You know, you're not worried about anybody else who goes into ER, and you're worried about, you know, this thing that it's like, haven't you read that this isn't not, you know, this is affecting old people with, you know, comorbidities?" And so I was just astounded, you know, and he was very condescending. And so that was, you know, that was kind of an alert, you know, at that time, right? And then as time went on, we get into 2021, and then suddenly, you know, the vaccines are available, and I had been reading about them, thinking, "Hey, don't need to take it, you know, because, you know, I'm not in a position where it's gonna do me probably any good, and it's untested, right?" And my wife, who's in childcare, was essentially forced to take it right away. I don't know if you remember this, but as early as January 2021. They were saying the first people who get to take it are going to be people, you know, in healthcare situations or, you know, in childcare. And so her boss basically said, "Yeah, everybody has to take it, you know, or you're going to be fired." And she went along with it, right? So she said, you know, "Okay, I'm going to do it." I said, I don't think you have to. And I wouldn't just go along with this, you know, and I'd fight it. I don't think they're going to fire you. And then so she took it and she was fine. But then I started noticing by the springtime, I got really, really upset because my children started getting pressured and bullied, you know, from the school in order to take it. And I said, "You don't need to take it, you know." And so two of them, who were already 18 at the time, they just went out and got it, right? Because they were basically bullied into it. And like I said, you know, my daughter, the older one, you know, she started having menstrual problems, you know, for 6 months afterwards. And so then I thought, "My God, you know, what the hell's going on here?" And then so now we're in the summer of 2021, and my youngest daughter is getting pressured into it, but she's not quite 18. So I said, I don't want you to take this. You can't take this." And so she was getting, you know, kind of bullied at school, and you know people wouldn't hang out with her and stuff like that. And of course they still weren't playing soccer, right? And then the insanity for me personally got even worse than that. In this was coming into 2021 in the fall. You remember the pressure to be vaccinated was absolutely insane, right? And my band demanded to know whether or not I was vaccinated. And they said, you know, one of the band members just had somebody who she was close to die. And, you know, it's because COVID, and you have to be vaccinated. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you, it's none of your business, but I'm not vaccinated." And I told them why. I said, "I'd really just like to talk to all of you guys about why I don't think I need to, and why you don't need to worry about it." Right. And they didn't want to listen to me. And a day later, they had a meeting without me and kicked me out of the band. So it was absolutely insane. And one of the guys, you know, who did, there was only one other people, this is a band of six people. And there was only one of the other guys who said, "This is a little bit insane. I don't think we should do this." And so 2 weeks later, yeah, they said, "No, well, you're overruled." And so 2 weeks later, he just left the band too. He's like, "This is stupid. I can't hang out with you guys, you know, because this is just dumb." But so that was going on. And then, you know, having the kids pressured. So ultimately, my younger daughter also ended up getting vaccinated when she turned 18. because she just said, I can't take it anymore. And she's going off to college, and the college that accepted her, you know, they demanded like 2 weeks before it started that she get a booster. And I was like, just don't do this, you know? And so she went along with it. She hasn't had any problems with it, but it's just, I just didn't understand. And I continue not to understand why so many ordinary people just go along with this. And, you know, based on an unreasonable fear, I guess, you know, or going along or complying with, you know, what the, you know, what the government's telling us to do.
There's in the beginning, it was kind of like they pitched it like a Thanos snap. For like half the people you knew were going to die. My grandparents live in Delaware. So that was like the first state to go really on lockdown. And they didn't open up for a very long time. People didn't start returning back to work for almost like a year, I think. I think maybe a little bit longer. But there was a point where going to Walmart in the beginning, they were like, you're not able to come in. When the vaccines rolled out, they're like, you're not coming in unless you're vaccinated. And I think it lasted a couple of weeks, but a lot of stores were starting to follow suit with that until some article came out, someone was suing Walmart for all this money for even questioning into their medical privileges, where now they didn't ask you if you were vaccinated, but they were like, if you're not, you have to wear a mask. And then it would just separate you again still. So you would notice, okay, that person's not vaccinated. But then some people that were even vaccinated were still wearing masks. They were wearing masks in their cars, sometimes even two masks. Where I was just like, the messaging's lost. But it's interesting because I never even thought about the younger kids who had friends and they want to go over to their friend's house. But then that family was like, are they vaccinated?
Yeah. Yeah. That happened to my kids.
That's terrible because it's like, wait, I've known you since I was a child. I've been over your house multiple times and all this. And you're questioning because I'm not vaccinated, am I allowed to go see you guys? Like, no, we just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, the amount of damage. I mean, I incorrectly assessed so many things about, you know, what people, how people would respond and what they would do. And one of them was with my own children. I thought, thank God I don't have small children. They're old enough to see this is bullshit, you know. They're old enough to understand, you know, just kind of resist some of the authority, but none of them did, you know, and it was just, and it was almost, I think, more damaging to them as young adults now than it was to many other people. You know, I mean, somebody, you know, I don't know how old you are, you know, 25. Okay. So, I mean, I think you're probably remarkable that you were even paying attention enough and then, you know, resisting what you were hearing and having a clear enough thought about it. I remember, so my son, he was down in Santa Cruz, right? And so, you know, this is an older son, and he was living with two other people, and they just, one of them demanded to know every time he left the house, like where he was, you know, what was going on. I said, my God, you kids are like 20 years old. What the hell is going on in your head? You know, it's like, I wasn't afraid of anything when I was 20, you know? I didn't understand what was going on, you know, mentally to a lot of the population. It just really astounded me and confused me.
Who do you think really set the hammer, I guess, set the nail into the coffin, which I think media, like another interesting thing that they had for a little while was the COVID death count they had on Fox and CNN. Was just right in the corner, and the number was kind of going and going, and then it would tell you the percentage of people who are vaccinated and how many people have died. I don't know how accurate their statistics were on any of that.
Not at all, but
they were showing that right in your face. And I feel like even if you're just clicking it on, like mask today or no mask today, like that was for me. It was like, do I have to do this? Because I would like to know, because I can pack one in my car just so if I get like drive an hour and I get there and they're like, you need to have a mask. I'm like, you guys have any? They're like, no. And I'm like, damn. And people were getting creative too. People were putting like plastic bags around their face. They were doing a bunch of stuff where I was like, is any of this working? Like once the bandanas start going around the face, I just kind of start going, I mean, can we start looking into this a little bit more and trying to get it? And at this point, it was just so no one could see your mouth. And there's just weird social stuff. I think a lot of this came from like media, even journalists as well too, with like, there was articles that were coming out about saying this number of people died and this number of people infected. Now, a lot of people don't know, like they don't, a lot of people don't have a math degree. They don't know statistics. They don't know anything about certain infectious diseases and all this. So they just had, as soon as they heard a message, they go, well, there are health institutions and there are media. They're not going to lie to us, even though we all know the stereotype of media.
Yeah. But you didn't even need to have a math degree or understand statistics that much, really. I mean, all you had to do is understand, you know, basic percentages and just like, oh, there's just a tiny number of people dying. You know, mostly they're getting, you know, it's kind of like a cold, maybe a flu for some people. Some people get hospitalized if you're older or, you know, especially if you're overweight, you know, that's going to be, you know, significantly overweight. That's going to be a problem. It was really easy to get that information. And for the kids, this is, like I said, this is one of the things that really disturbed me too, is that, you know, my kids weren't watching any of the TV. They didn't see any of those scare numbers, you know, but they were getting it sort of just like by osmosis through, you know, all their friends, right? It was just this peer pressure that was constant. And I don't know how that happened to those group, you know, people in that age group. It's baffling to me.
I don't know if you remember this, but this is probably about a year ago, but when you really started having to watch either if you had kids or if you had family members that were watching certain media thing, they put on Sesame Street, Sanjay, the guy who was on CNN, the Bain medical guy.
Yeah, Sanjay Gupta, right? Yeah,
he was on Sesame Street telling kids about the vaccine and how it's okay and you should get the vaccine. Where I was like, if you're a parent, you really have to watch what your kids are watching, especially little kids. You turn on Sesame Street just to make sure they stop talking and you can actually get some peace for like an hour or so. But then they're showing the vaccine and Big Bird's getting the vaccine. I'm like, in my family, I had to turn off the TV a couple of times for certain people where I was like, you got to stop watching this. Like, my parents work radio, so they were like trying to get into the news and trying to interview people, and they got their shots and everything. But eventually, like, it just got to a point where like I was starting to get forced to do it. And I was like, I'm not doing it. There's no way. I don't even take Tylenol. That's like it's just a dumb argument with me. Why is nobody suggesting to go outside and do some exercise or just eat healthy? I mean, a lot of this was a wake up call for people where we talk about older populations, obviously, that were more vulnerable. But then you got people that are like drinking 4 2-liters of Diet Coke a day. And the government at all is not just suggesting simple stuff, which is like, hey, maybe change up your diet a little bit, maybe try an orange, anything of this sort. There was none of that.
Yeah. And you mentioned Debbie Lerman, you know, who writes for Brownstone. Did you say you just interviewed her?
Yeah, she was just on my show.
Yeah. I mean, she really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff with, you know, the initial, you know, lockdowns were not even run by the CDC. They were taken over by the security state, right? And so the Department of Homeland Security and those guys have just said, oh, this is a biosecurity threat now, right? And so you know, so no, there were no health considerations for the general population. So, you know, you just mentioned all these things like, you know, tell people to exercise more. It was being run by the military, essentially. So of course they're not going to care about health, you know, they're caring about, you know, it's a threat, right? And that was one of the other things, you know, you mentioned the psyops is that they get everybody to be afraid, right? And now all of a sudden you have, you know, this giant step growth in the biosecurity state, you know, the people, the money behind it, the people who just want to control our lives, right? And, you know, the same thing happened when we got the Department of Homeland Security to begin with, you know, after 9/11, you know, you're too young to remember what happened there, but, you know, everybody was really afraid. And so they got this new department, right? And now, you know, it's like, why do we have to like get to the airport 2 hours early so you can scan my body and look in my shoes? You know, it's just the stupidest thing ever. It's not saving anybody, helping anybody, but it's just a measure of control to keep the population compliant. And this is an example, just like that, of how, you know, the government just gained a lot more power and control over our lives, and they did it all through fear, right? And I don't know to the extent that it's like a conspiracy, you know, where you got, you know, 10 guys in a room, you know, all saying, hey, let's get them this way, right? You know, so we can gain more control. But, you know, certainly they have levers of power and they can wield those levers of power. And if they think, you know, that it's in their best interest to do it, they'll do it, right? And, you know, it doesn't have to be people sitting around agreeing to do something, because they all recognize that this is the thing they need to do to gain more power over the population.
Well, it's even a wake-up call when you talk about the number of alternate medications or just possible potential treatments that probably should have been looked into, but everything had to be the vaccine. I mean, the media slandered ivermectin, calling it horse paste, or people still think it's horse paste now, even though it's being treated in a CV6 study by the CDC as a recommended treatment for COVID symptoms. So all this took years to finally get back to like, okay, now we're doing a whole 180 again, but there was so much time where they deplatformed people and they did so much to eliminate those. And we have never done that with anything, any type. Someone gets over their headache with drinking tea. We never shame them for drinking tea. Maybe you joke around with your buddy, but we never, if they got over it, then that's the whole point. And I go, if they really cared about us that much, wouldn't they be looking at every single possible way to treat this and not just looking for one method? That's like that question I would just ask. And a lot of people would just wouldn't answer it. People that were on the vaccine side and saying that it's a safe vaccine and things of that sort, which made me had to do my own, I guess, independent research on some things and come across videos. I don't know if you ever came across the guy who created the PCR test. His name's Kerry Mullis. If you find his video, it's not on YouTube, but it's like, I can send it to you if I find the link to it. But it's, to me, it's the most authentic because he's in his house. A guy's just interviewing him. He's wearing like a Rainforest Cafe shirt on. He's not dressed up in a suit. He's just like, he's no longer alive. He died during the, before the pandemic happened. But he's calling out Fauci. He's calling out every single person. He's just in his house sitting in like an old wooden chair and they're just interviewing him. Some guy looks like Jerry Seinfeld from back in the day. He's just interviewing him. He's saying like, you never want to trust these guys. All they care about is the money. And to me, it really opened up to like, okay, so now whenever I see these people, if I just take them, like they're probably lying. And I want to know what that reason is lying. And then whenever Fauci would say something or other people would say stuff, you can just look to see that it was proven wrong. I mean, that fear narrative is the most profitable thing to everyone in these institutions right now, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. And the profit, but also, I mean, I think the control, not only, you know, from this security mechanism, you know, of monitoring our actions, but also trying to really gain biological control over us, telling us what we need to do and take, you know, and
digital ID. That's a good one.
Yeah. And move to digital IDs. Right. So there's that aspect of it. There's the tracking and surveilling of people, which makes it, you know, that a lot easier. But then also just the biological control is one of the most terrifying things to me. I had written an article about this. You know, I had a friend who was, you know, it was interesting because she was an old high school friend and I hadn't spoken to her since the beginning of the pandemic. So she didn't know how I felt, you know, about any of this stuff. And she asked me in an email, you know, I kept on referring to mRNA as a platform. And she goes, why do you keep calling it a platform? It's just a vaccine. And I'm like, it's not a traditional vaccine, you know? And so that email that I wrote back to her to describe that turned into an article that I put on Brownstone, because I think a lot of people aren't aware of that the CDC before 2021, their definition on their website, which you can go if you go to like the Wayback Machine, you know, and I have it on my article posted, you can see the definition from their website that says, you know, a vaccine is a it's a weakened or dead form of the virus that you are given, so your body creates antibodies to go against it. And they changed the definition, said it's any treatment or preparation that, you know, enables you to, you know, fight a disease. So it's like, okay, so this is not a vaccine. mRNA is not a vaccine according to the definition before 2021. Why did you do that? Why didn't you just say we have this new medicine that we want you to take? Because because it's going to work, right? But instead, they had to lie and they had to change the definition because they wanted everybody to think that it's just like an ordinary vaccine. And then they want to force everybody to get on this platform because mRNA was never used, before this vaccine as a vaccine. It was never used that way. It was invented like 30 years ago. It was called gene therapy at the time, and it was used to basically help your body produce things that it wasn't producing. So like, let's say you're a diabetic, your body's not producing insulin, they give you this gene therapy, the gene goes in and it tells your body, instructs your body to start producing insulin, right? And one of the things they knew right away was that it just didn't work for very long, right? So they already knew all this stuff. It wasn't a vaccine. So what they did with this version, with this medicine, was they said, okay, we're going to use that same gene therapy that we've had before, but we're going to go in and instruct the person's body to create the antigen, to create the spike protein that's bad for you. And then your body's going to go fight it. And so it's kind of insane in a way, if you think about it, you know, because it wasn't tested for that purpose. Right. And so it got shoved in. And so it's like, okay, now they're trying to force everybody to do this. And if they do it, it's not just making vaccines anymore. It's whatever they want to force you to take, and whatever it is they want it, however they want to introduce new genetic material into your body. Right. It's frightening and insane is what it is.
What do you think about the vaccines causing variants? Because there's a weird thing with those variants where they attack at a different, like a higher level of spike protein, where I go, doesn't that the vaccine increase your spike protein a little bit? And I'm like, doesn't that any correlation there at all? And it just seemed like asking that question was dumb, but.
You know, I don't know a lot of the details. Basically what I just told you is the extent of my knowledge. I mean, I don't know a lot of the details. You know, of course, you know, I know you've had Robert Malone on here. He could probably go on, you know, about how all that stuff works and, you know, possible, you know, the creation of variants from the vaccine itself. I don't know.
I was just wondering, because when they talked about spike protein, and it's like, isn't that what the vaccine did to me? Like, just reading that, I was like, that was common logic to me. Just be like, whoa, okay, well, hang on a second. Isn't there a correlation there? But nobody ever really talked about that. But back to something you mentioned before about with your kids. Do you think that if your kids were younger age, that you probably would have felt pressure just, or maybe had a different outlook of like getting your kids vaccinated? Because like, I've noticed that with just kind of like the whole divide and just society a little bit, is that whenever it's something with kids, people just kind of go blind at everything. And it's 100%, like, that's where the fear comes out. We're like, give your fear to the government, you know, you take care of this. And that's, I mean, with masking with kids was a big thing where everyone took their stand, but also vaccinating kids as well too, where people are like, wait, oh my God, my little kids can get infected easier. And then it's like, to me, it's like, that's a very sketchy situation, because people don't think at that point. They just, if they hear their kids are going to get sick, they 100% act.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how most people think, but I mean, if my kids were younger, like I said, you know, they were pretty much bullied into it. And since they were of age, you know, to make that decision for themselves, you know, because I had been, you know, reading about this stuff and becoming more aware of it, I would not have let them, you know, get vaccinated. I wouldn't have cared if they kicked them out of school or what they did, you know?
How big of a halt did that put on your kids' educational career, like going to college and everything? Like how far back did that put them?
One of them just couldn't see going to school anymore. You know, he was in college. One of my daughters, she was in college also. It set her back sort of, socially more than anything else. You know, she's always been a person who just, you know, has fewer friends, you know, core friends, you know, that kind of thing. And so she had just gotten to establish some relationships, you know, in college, and then they, you know, they kicked her out for a year and shut it all down. And so it just destroyed all that. She managed to get through sort of academically. My younger daughter, who was in high school at the time, you know, they pretty much, you know, wrecked her, you know, sports life. Academically, she wasn't hurt because she was, you know, she's very diligent, you know, and disciplined anyway. But she was telling me all day long, you know, they had Zoom meetings for a year, you know, for these classes. And she was telling me all day long, it's like, oh, you know, so-and-so's cheating, so-and-so's cheating, so-and-so's cheating. So I imagine, and I told her, I said, don't you cheat just because, you know, it's easy, right? I mean, because the thing is that if you don't learn anything, you're just going to be hurting yourself. And then you're just wasting your day. You know, why are you even sitting there then? Right. But all of those other kids I know were damaged, you know, their education was damaged, you know, their social lives were damaged. And many of them were damaged psychologically because of the fear, especially if their parents went along with the fear. You know, I mean, I know other ones, they just still haven't recovered psychologically, you know, because their parents were all wrapped up in it and how scared they were. And, you know, it just continues. It's just very, very strange.
I think like it's kind of like with the political stuff as well too. Like people got separated. Like I know friends from Facebook that aren't my friends anymore just because it's something like that. I said that was about not taking the vaccine, or if I had Peter McCullough on. But you mentioned, I think this off air, but I had the same experience. But was my doctor when he was like, "I see you're not vaccinated. We can schedule you to get your shot." And I was like, I don't really feel comfortable getting the shot. And that should have been the end of the conversation. There should have been nothing else after that. But he was like, look, he goes, I know. And he knows about my show. He knows who I've had on. He's like, I know you're having conspiracy theorists and all this type of stuff. But let me tell you, like, the shot's good for you. You should get it. I can schedule you for it. I can talk to your parents if you need me to talk to your parents. I'm like, I'm 25, 24 years old at the time. I was like, you don't need to call my parents for shit. And it was like just seeing like a doctor, like someone that, I mean, I barely go to the doctor as it is, but seeing him really try and like act like connect with me on like, I care about you. And I'm like, you don't even, dude, when I book an appointment, you book 8 months out, man. That's not someone that cares about somebody. That's just someone that's looking to get like a checkup and just, I have to check in here and there. And as you mentioned with the educational institutions, why are they bullying and why are they so involved in that? That's a weird level where people were going, I guess, above and beyond in their own mind to thinking that they were doing something right and they were saving you in a sense to try and insert them, their lives into just, I mean, even people on the street that you would meet if you'd go there. Are you vaccinated? Why are we getting into this discussion? Why do you care? We never talk about medical stuff. That's someone's private information, but has leaked into public and now you're doing a service to do so.
Right. Right. Yeah, you mentioned the doctors. I mean, I was just astounded. You know, I went to the doctor also, and then, you know, you know, getting lots of pressure for the vaccine, you know. And so I just said to the doctor, I just said, hey, with all of the information out there, you know, that you can read now, it's like, you're a doctor. You tell me, you know, what you think about all that. And he said exactly the same thing that you just said. It was like, yeah, conspiracy theory, misinformation. It's like, you're just not reading, you know. And so you have these people that are in these positions that you're supposed to trust, you know, in these institutions. And it's just impossible. I mean, if they ever want to get back, I mean, I know there's a lot of doctors who you can't trust, you know, they lost their careers for it, right? But
Dr. Drew is a big one, and he changed his whole opinion. I listened to him in the beginning of the pandemic, and he was saying, when vaccines come, get your shot. And he was saying that. And then now I'm seeing him interview Robert Malone and Dr. McCullough. I'm like, it's good to see that you kind of flipped there, because I think you started realizing we weren't following health ethics.
Right. Right. That's right. That's right. And it's I don't know how that happened with so many institutions. You know, it's like with people in government, you know, you can kind of see it. Right. You know, just because they're in that position of control and power. But like the medical institutions, the educational institutions, so much of the media, you know, it's just really, really baffling to me.
Did you notice, like, when Robert Malone first went on Joe Rogan, there was an article that came out talking about over 200 something doctors had called it, this guy's a misinformation person or something like that. If you clicked into that article, there were like dentists, there were like people that were foot doctors. There was like a bunch of stuff that had nothing to do with anything vaccine related or to have any knowledge on the vaccine. And that's when you start seeing like, it's the word manipulation. I mean, it's kind of like legal speak in a lot of these things. You start noticing it's the way that they word certain things or they say certain things, where it's not like, it sounds like they're saying something, but they're really just kind of talking points, or they're kind of like dead points. Like they don't go anywhere. There's no information there, but it sounds really smart on the television.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just like you said, it's just baffling, you know, this, especially down at the level of individuals, you know, like you say, you lost friends. I lost a lot of friends. It was just so difficult for me to understand how they could get so wrapped up emotionally in something like this, just without, you know, not even paying attention to what they could see with their own eyes, you know, that you could look around and people aren't dropping like flies, right? Or just a simple, you know, a statement of, you know, we don't have to control the population, because if it's that dangerous, you know, and people start dropping like flies, of course I'll stay in the house. You know, yeah, I'm not going to go around a bunch of people if I think I'm actually in danger of getting hurt, you know. And then the people, you know, especially the friends that I lost, you know, yelling at me, you know, saying, like you said, you don't care about people. You know, you're selfish, you know, all of this stuff. And it just baffled me.
When do you think, I guess, people really started kind of pushing back? Do you think that was around the time of mandates when people are all kind of being forced? Like doctors were, they were telling, oh, if you can't make it to a doctor to get your shot, we'll go to your house. I was like, well, that's a really weird thing that we're about to start doing if that really starts happening. But we could have went the complete opposite direction. Like if more people would have got vaccinated, then there would have been a minority population that was unvaccinated, which is how the media says it. But I don't think that's true because I think a lot more people are unvaccinated than there is vaccinated.
Yeah, I don't know what those real numbers are, because certainly I know a handful of people, you know, they went out and got a fake vax card. They showed it to their employer, you know, because the employer said they had to get it.
I heard about that, too. I saw my buddy had one. I was like, that's so weird. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I always felt, you know, and you know, like I said, one of the close friends that I had, you know, that we were on the same page, you know, we discussed it and we just said, look, you know, you know, do you want to be that person, you know, who was the liar, right? You know, or do you want to be the person who says, you know, screw this, you know, you can't make me do this, you know? And we both decided that we were going to be those people, you know, instead of the other ones, right? Because you're just never going to get away from that, you know, you know, being the liar, you know, who, you know, even though it's like, yeah, I just, you know, I don't hold anything against those people who did that at all, you know? But, you know, it wasn't right for me. You know, for me, it was more like, you know, I think it's more important at some point, you know, you got to stand up to this nonsense and start talking about it.
Did you have any friends that had to leave the workforce because they were like either called essential workers that were maybe they got one shot, two shots, but they didn't want to get a booster?
The very close friend that I we became much closer during this time, I actually helped him a lot. He was a firefighter in San Francisco. And they mandated the shots, and he was one of the people who just refused to do it. And so he was fired in 2021, you know, and they said, you know, he's like 8 years away from, you know, full pension kind of a thing. Loved his job. You know, he was really good at it. Got firefighter of the year 1 year, you know, like, and yeah, they just, and they continued. I helped him with his, he's currently in a lawsuit with like this group of firefighters against the city of San Francisco. And it was amazing to me, like from the get-go, how, you know, even the justice system, this is another one of those institutions where, you know, the judge himself, you know, was giving them like a bait and switch so they couldn't present, you know, their arguments basically that, you know, that the vaccine wasn't fully tested, right? And so that they couldn't be required to take it. And he says, I don't want to hear any of the, you know, that nonsense, you know. And he says, I read this article in the New York Times. I'm like, you're a judge. You read an article in the New York Times and you're calling that, you know, your authority that you're going to, you know, to decide what you're going to not hear in this case, you know, where these people lost their jobs on the, like, on the drop of a hat, you know, they literally a month, they tried to get an injunction to stop it. You know, this was during that process because they literally said, you know, if you don't get it in a month, you know, we're going to fire you. So how much time is a month, you know, to mount a legal defense, right? Against, you know, the city that's got an attorney sitting over there, you know, ready to fight you. Right. I mean, you know, and so they had, you know, initially they had people among their group who were, you know, well-spoken enough that were basically going to the judge and, you know, and saying in these meetings, you know, and they were open hearings. So I went to him too. I couldn't even believe it, you know, what I was hearing this guy say. And, you know, and so, you know, they had to defend themselves essentially at the beginning and they didn't get an injunction, you know, they got canned. And so later, you know, they were able to get a lawyer and they're still going through the process right now.
I mean, is there any like hope for them at all in any of these scenarios? I mean, I know a lot of people left, but like the whole question of job security now, like we're seeing the ramifications. Nobody cares about it.
There's definitely hope for them. There was an article in, I think it was the Epoch Times that I read just last week saying that these cases, these lawsuits against the mandates, the people who lost their jobs are starting, they're starting to win and settle across the country. So it's happening more and more, you know, so I keep on telling my friend to hold on, you know, There was another, this is an even sadder story of the mandate. So one of the other people, he's a friend of mine who was in that same group as the one I just described, who lost his job. I wrote an article about this other gentleman also in Brownstone, but he was given this mandate, and he has two small kids, you know, and he loved his job as a firefighter, and they mandated him. And this guy was, you know, he's like you, he didn't take any medicines, you know, and he was working out and like, you know, all the time. He, you know, ate the great foods, and he's like, I can't put this thing in my body. I don't know what it is. Right. And so he struggled in his mind to decide what to do, because they said, you're going to get fired. And so the day before they said they were going to can him if he didn't get the shot, he basically gave up and said, okay, well, I got to do this for my family. You know, I'll go down, I'll get the shot. So he was outside the vaccination center, and he was so upset. And I don't know, did you see this article that I wrote?
I saw the one about the firefighter.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. Yeah. So he was so upset that he turned on his phone and he started taking a video of himself. And he started, you know, hurling all these slurs against the department and, you know, the chiefs, and saying all this stuff, you know. He was just, you know, that upset that he just vented. And then he went in and got the shot anyway, but he posted the video on his Instagram account. And so all these people saw it, and they saw it in the department, and he got fired anyway. He got fired a month later anyway. So he lost on both counts. You know, it was just absolutely insane. And so where were all these people who, you know, said, well, obviously the guy had a mental breakdown, right? He obviously had a mental breakdown because he couldn't do this. It's like, where are all the mental health professionals that are standing around, you know, that they say, you know, like if a firefighter, you know, he suffers from something like, you know, PTSD or whatever it is, you know, because they've been on, you know, some fire that was too bad. They got psychologists sitting around, like, ready to help those guys. How come they weren't ready to help him? You know,
it was just the weird social thing. Like I said, at whatever side you were on, vaccine or unvaccinated, there was just the video of a woman who was telling a guy to put his mask on an airplane, and she had her mask down as she was screaming at the guy. And right in his face, and this is an older gentleman, probably like in his 70s, close to 80 years old, and she punched him in the face. And TSA, the airport security, or whoever, the guy, the marshals that are on the plane, had to grab her and start pulling her off. And she's like, he's killing people. And like, if you look around, everyone's got a mask up, and this guy just like, you didn't have to wear your mask on the airplane. But the people that were like, the rabies madness that went with it, like, if you put a video of someone that was screaming at someone, like, put your fucking mask on, compared to someone who didn't have their mask on, like, I don't want to put my mask on, the person that's screaming at the other person to put their mask on looks more mentally ill. And nobody else was seeing that. Nobody stepped up. I mean, besides, like, obviously other professions that we probably know, independent people that were doing it through media, but nobody in the media was really calling it out and being like, this is a serious issue. This person is crazy. It was all about only the unvaccinated people are the insane ones. And that just makes it more difficult, because that trickled down to other businesses. I was lucky my gym didn't care about if you got it or not. Like, we just never even brought up the conversation about it. But for other people, I had a buddy that had to leave his warehouse job, and he's got a family. He just left it because he's like, I'm not getting the shot. I was like, good on you, but I would not have made the same choice as you. He's like, really, you? I was like, no, if you got a family to protect, man, they use that as a bargaining chip. A lot of people aren't going to go and try and take their higher road with their integrity on that when they have to think about their family and a job.
Well, especially if they were, you know, unaware of some of the, you know, some of the details, because, you know, it's like, you know, why wouldn't you trust, you know, the CDC, you know, and all of these doctors, you know, and your doctor telling you to take the shot, you know, why wouldn't you just say, oh, okay, it's probably safe, you know, I can go do this. And, you know, yeah, so I think most people, you know, just being unaware, you know, they thought, oh, okay, you know, they're telling me to do this, I'm going to do it.
How dangerous do you think was like censorship on some of this stuff too? Cause like even some of the articles, like I'm sure you screenshot a lot of stuff now. Like I try and screenshot a lot whenever I come across something, just in case I can't find it again, because sometimes I'll try and search it up a month later and it sounds nuts. I was never like that, but I had showed an article here on air it's not necessarily COVID related, but it was about Biden apologizing for using like psychological weapons or something like that. He mentioned it. It was a warfare tactic. He mentioned it. They use it to like distort up riots. It's like a sound thing. It's weird. But I had showed the article on air, and then I go and try and search it up like a month later and I couldn't find it. I was like, well, it exists because I can see it in the video, but I can't find it on Google. I can't find it on anything. I know people recommended DuckDuckGo and a bunch, but now DuckDuckGo is owned by Google, but there's a lot of that real censorship stuff that I started seeing where you would come across videos of like Fauci that you could find of him saying that you won't get COVID if you have the vaccine. None of that anymore. And then now he just says, I never said that. And I'm like, well, unless someone screenshots it or has a screen recording, we're not going to be able to find it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's also one of the frightening things, too, is how much the government was working together with the social media outlets, you know, with, you know, Twitter and YouTube. And that all came out with the Twitter files, you know, and a lot of that, you know, thank God for Alex Berenson, you know, like being out there fighting against these guys continually and exposing the censorship. Yeah, I'm sure you're aware, you know, he's got a lawsuit where he's included, you know, Biden in the lawsuit, right? Because the administration, it's clearly documented that they told, you know, Twitter to shut people down, you know.
What do you think about the road back for healthcare workers? Like, do you think that's going to be like if you were going to time it, like 5 years, 10 years? I just don't see anything. I'm a little bit more of a pessimist when it comes into where we're at right now, just because I've seen.
Yeah,
so much.
I mean, I don't know either. I mean, I just when I hear just this whole thing about just going along and you know, with you know, whatever the, you know, the authority tells you to do, it's like, oh, here's the recommendation. We're just going to tell you to do that. The amount of control that the pharmaceutical companies and the size, you know, that they've gotten to, you know, and the amount of money that they make, it just, I just don't know, like when, you know, how we're going to get back to that where you really can go in and say, trust your doctor, you know, to just, you did, you know, I don't go in now and say, yeah, you know, you're telling me there's something wrong with me. I take this medication. I just don't do it. I just say, oh, now I have to go do research on my own to decide whether or not I want to take that medication or whether or not I want to do what you say. And so, I mean, that's where my head's at. But I don't see it changing. You know, I just don't. The wheels have been in motion for a very long time, you know, moving towards this one size fits all for everybody. And, you know, and that it seems like that's what's happened. And I'm with you. I'm not very optimistic that, you know, unless you have a lot of money where you can go find, you know, the doctor who really cares about you, you know, individually, it seems like that's where healthcare is going more and more.
What do you think about like the narrative turning a little bit? We're seeing it happen a little bit slowly, but there, I mean, the division amongst people, do you think that's probably always going to be there, but I just to a point where everyone is going to start questioning more about what's going on. I think it's opened a lot of people's eyes up for sure, but there's a lot of people that get a very big platform to be able to shout like, get this, it's 100% good for you. There's no vaccine side effects. And then you have major platforms like YouTube and other ones that still push that narrative and don't really update. I mean, they updated recently when probably like almost 6 months ago or so about vaccine side effects. You could talk about them if they affected you, because they realized that there were a lot of people trying to get their voice out about it. And they were actually, the algorithms and everything would find those trigger words of vaccine side effects and just kick them right off.
Yeah. So, no, I think you're right about, you know, the general public becoming more and more aware. And if you wanted to use me as a specific example, you know, where, you know, I had never written an article in my life, you know, and, you know, I like I say, I was just a software developer, you know, I programmed for the last 30 years. And then this so upset me, you know, what I had seen that I just started, you know, that I started to write. And I think there are a lot of people, more and more and more people, you know, they're not writing, but they're hearing this stuff. They're, you know, they're listening, they're more skeptical. And I hope it makes a difference, you know, and I hope that filters into some of the political leaders that we, you know, that we choose. I hope it, you know, filters into, you know, other institutions that people are running, you know, educational institutes, you know, maybe people reject sending their kids to colleges that, you know, that don't, you know, promote real critical thinking. And like that, so I'm hopeful, because there are many more people, but I also am thinking that they're not done with us yet. And that's why we need more people. I think, you know, that they're just waiting for some other thing to do, you know, another pandemic, you know, to instill enough fear so that they can get to this level of control. And maybe it won't be that, you know, maybe it'll be some sort of big economic problem. You know, but the people, not only in charge of the government, but, you know, in terms of our money, you know, the Federal Reserve, you know, they just started this new program. I don't know if you heard of it, called Fed Now, right? Where they've been working on it for 3 years. You know, it's one step closer to being, you know, like digital money, where, you know, cash doesn't work anymore, right? And so it's one step closer to that. So the government's going to have the clearinghouse for businesses, you know, so they don't have to go through banks, you know, anymore. It'll be directly through the federal government. And so it's like I say, it's one step closer. These things are called, you know, central bank digital currencies. You know, I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's very disturbing, because, you know, I mean, it's basically what they're doing in China right now. It's like you get a social credit score, and they can turn, you know, they can turn off your ability to go, you know, buy stuff, you know. And it's like, hey, we don't like what you're saying, so you don't get to buy gas, you don't get to buy food, you know, whatever it is, right? And so,
I was gonna say, there's a guy I talked to similar to this, but it's about autonomous vehicles. And he mentioned like, yeah, we get to stage five, they'll just, you know, you'll never have to drive again. There'll be no human driving at all. There's no need for it. And I go, yeah, but people should be able to drive their cars. Like, I don't want people having control over a system of my car. Like, where's that connect to? Like, government can shut it down. He's like, yeah, the government could shut it down. I was like, what would cause that though? Like, what is that? And he was like, well, if you break a law. And I was like, hold on a second. There are some dumb laws. Connecting to your neighbor's Wi-Fi is a law that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to connect to your neighbor's Wi-Fi. And I go, that's a dumb law. And he goes, well, I don't think they'll take it that. I was like, even missing a payment on something and they lock your car down, that's digital currency right there. That's the biggest danger of having the government control. They can turn all the money in your account to a zero and you literally have nothing, or you just can't make payments, or they lock something down because you didn't do something correctly. It's the most dangerous aspect where we're heading towards right now.
Yeah. I totally agree with you 100%. And all it takes is some big emergency, you know, to get another step up in the power and the control. But, you know, what we've seen in the last couple of years, what they're not only willing to do, but capable of doing, and the amount of fear that can be instilled in people to go along with it, you know, should be a wake up call to a lot of people, you know, and hopefully there will be enough of us saying enough that will prevent that from happening.
I wonder, because like monkeypox came out like kind of still in it, where they still had a variant, then there was monkeypox. And I was wondering, I was like, if that would have came out later, would people had maybe a similar reaction? Like, if right now, if there was a monkeypox outbreak and there was this whole entire thing, I think a lot of people are just like, no, I'm not doing any of this, because we still have that COVID kind of like, I'm just fed up of everything that happened. It was the most disgusting thing. But then, I mean, enough time down the road, a year, 2 years, 3 years, people forget what it was like. I mean, a lot of people don't even remember what it was like not to have vaccines. And that kind of waiting for a vaccine, or kind of being like, what the hell is going on? Why are we in lockdown? The anger, I still have the anger inside me from what I felt with lockdown, where they were charging people $5,000, mostly because I live in a beach town and they shut businesses down coming up on summer. So all these businesses shut down, and I know friends who own businesses that killed themselves. Like, it's horrible. And I'm pretty sure everyone's got a story of knowing someone that took their life, but people built their whole life into like a mom and pop shop. And now, you know, that business is closed because they couldn't make the payments. They couldn't make certain things. People in unemployment waiting for that long time to get on the wait line. I mean, it was forever, but when you didn't get money, it took a long time for them to get money. They just didn't want to wait. They ended up taking their own life. There are stories like this where I'm like, you can't lose that, what that feeling was, of feeling helpless, which is exactly what's going to start happening when you start seeing the government come in. They never just stop at one. They hit every step on the way down.
Yep. I think you're right.
Well, Alan, I appreciate the time you gave me to talk on my show, man. Is there a place where people can find your links? I know you have stuff on Brownstone I can link in here, but do you have any other links?
No, that's about it. Like I said, I never written an article before in my life, you know, and You know, it's just, I just, it would encourage people to just, you know, keep reading this stuff and learn more about it and watching shows like yours. You know, there need to be more people who are willing, you know, to speak and to say, this is not the life we want to live, not like this.
And Alan, I'm going to link your Brownstone links in the description for people to click. And thanks everybody for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank Podcast.